go ahead and get started so we can go through. Looks like last week our time just went away quickly. I guess that's what happened when you're enjoying the word, right?
Amen.
You're having fun, time to fly. So we're going to go in prayer and do a quick review from last week and to this week's lesson. Speaking down, would you like to open us up in the prayer?
Okay. Father God, we are going to speak, Lord, to come tonight, Lord, to give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. We come, Heavenly Father, thanking you for this day. We thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, right now, as we begin to study your word, God, we ask that your spirit would be among us, God, that you will open up our understanding, that we will hear a word from you tonight. Father, we love you and we praise you. We'll give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we are thankful for all that are gathered. I was trying to play around and see if I could get it. Cannot. So if anybody has this on or there's a possibility that you're not speaking and you can mute your phone, just cut down on the background noise so that everybody can hear it more clearly. And if you can't, we'll make our way.
Yeah, I don't have to go. Hello?
Hello?
Did no one see you go down? I don't have to go. Because I'm different from you.
Say that again, Reverend
Heathers. It's clear now. Well, the world's clear. Now it's coming back up again on that noise.
Just if you have to mute your phone, there, one, just mute it so it won't be so much background noise.
Yeah, mute it then, it's worse.
Oh, I'm just muted then. Everybody has to mute their phone if they can to make it easier for Reverend Christie. Go ahead, Reverend.
Okay. So, as I said before, I like to start off with just some type of reading that just kind of get us in the frame of mind. And so in my notes book this week, this is a part that I came across and I thought it kind of fed into some of what we were talking about. And so our study is about us growing in spiritual growth. So as we grow and as we learn, we become mature Christians. And so part of becoming a mature Christian, it is so that we can love God and each other better. Okay? So I'm going to read this and then we're going to dig into last week and then start with this week. God doesn't show favoritism. However, he does enjoy closeness with his own. Throughout the Bible, God had an intimate relationship with his people. And today, all who have received Jesus Christ as Savior have become part of God's family. The Heavenly Father desires to have an intimate relationship with each one of his children. We get to enjoy this closeness by engaging with him and in his word and in prayer. Intimacy comes from a deepening fellowship that leads to our greater understanding of God, his word, and his will for our life. As we spend time with him and obey him, he begins to conform us to his image. Then he works through us and we reflect him to those around us, like a light set on a lampstand, Matthew 5:14-16. So that fit into us learning to love God better and that we can love one another. And so last week, the question that was asked to start our Bible study was, what is the best way for us to grow spiritually? And so some of the answers was a desire, having an open mind, having a teachable spirit, talked about prayer and reading his Bible. And so all of those, and, you know, it could be additional things to that. So to go on, a mature Christian continues to grow in faith, hope, and love. And that faith, hope, and love is a greater love for God, and as I said, for others, that we can love each other better. And the scriptures in which we came from was 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse, Matthew 22, 36 through 40. And then we compared those scriptures in Matthew to Old Testament scriptures. And so today, the question that I'm going to start with is, why are scriptures vital to our spiritual growth? Why is it important for us to read the Bible, be able to study the scriptures and know what the scriptures say? Why is that a vital part of us growing and learning and becoming better? So, anybody that want to answer, go out, keep up.
This is amazing. Amazing web.
Yes,
I think that you need to read the Bible more for yourself to try to understand and grow in wisdom and understanding in order to have a better walk with God.
Okay. Anyone else?
Indeed, it happens. The Bible is like our life roadmap.
Okay.
Our everyday roadmap. If you don't read it, that's no good. You don't know which way to go. So it has no roadmap to life.
All right. Anybody else?
The Bible also tells us in one of the scriptures, it says, left my mind. Hold on. But that, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Okay.
And then also, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then you go and look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 2. You can get some more information.
All right. So it's vital for life, us living, just to be able to get through, right? And live the Christian life. So, because we could get through without doing it, but it wouldn't be God's way. And in doing so, we have pitfalls. We have not used that roadmap, and we've had accidents and collisions and all kinds of things by not walking in God's word, by not doing what his words say. And when we didn't do what his words say, sometimes we may have known what the words say, and sometimes we may not have really known what the words said. You know, because we can be taught parts, or I can say personally for myself, and I always can only use myself as an example. You can go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and hear the preacher speak, get a sermon. and can be happy and excited about it. But it's not the same as picking up that word and reading it for yourself and living by it. Because what's preached on Sunday, yes, it comes from the Bible. Yes, it helps us. But when that word is preached on Sunday, that word should inspire us to go and dig into God's word. Because when the word is preached and you hear the word, you're like, wow, okay, maybe I read that before, but that's not what I got. So it should inspire you to want to dig into God's word to see what it says and how did that line up and how we can become better. So is there anybody else that wants to add to why scriptures are a vital part of our spiritual growth before I move on?
Yes, I would. This is Richard Bradham.
Yes, sir.
And 2 Timothy 2:15 tell us we should be diligent in studying God's word. And it says that we should rightly divide the word of truth.
Okay.
Now, if you don't know the word yourself, how can you share, how can you grow, first of all? And then secondly of all, how can you instruct others?
Well, you won't do it well, for sure. Okay. Anybody else want to add? Okay. Well, you can always, as we move on, add. So we have said for a better walk with God, it's a roadmap. It's for our life. It's so that we can divide the word to know right from wrong, to be able to live better. So with that said and done, what I was able to dig in and receive was God's word is live and active. And so when we say his word is live and active in Hebrews 4:12-13. And so we're going to dig in there, do some reading, and if you have a different translation, we're going to pull up some different translations and just see what that word is saying, and then we're going to get into it.
Can you repeat the scripture again, please?
Hebrews, 4th chapter, starting at the 12th verse. Okay, and so while y'all are getting there, I'm going to go ahead and read the New Living Translation. And if somebody have another translation after that, just jump in. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Someone else have another translation? We'll deal with a couple of translations and then we'll dig into the word. So start formulating your thoughts and what it is that the word is saying to you.
Well, the King James Version.
Yes, ma'am.
For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Okay.
Any other translations out there?
The New King James Version.
Okay.
There's no creature hidden from his sight. For all things are naked and open. Oh, wait, but started verse 12, right?
Yes, sir.
For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and mouth, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give account.
Okay. Is there anybody else or can handle the word? Okay. So it says that the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the translation I read, the sharpest two-edged sword. And so we know a sharp knife, a sword, that's sharp. And so something, I've never been cut, but some things you don't have to have done in order to know that it would hurt. So to be cut or shot hasn't been, but I know that's something that would really pierce and it would hurt. So when we really break it down and look at it and say, okay, this is a two-edged sword, and it's cutting, it's cutting through everything that we have in order to expose us. And so when we're being exposed, that's everything, our thoughts, our desires, everything, because when we when we see each other, we don't see all that. We go to church on Sunday or we're out and about, either we're dressed up or we have our casual clothes on or whatever. We can't see each other. We can't, we're not exposed to everything that is going on within each other. And thank God that we're not. Just to think about that, but to know that even in all of that, God does. There's nothing that's hidden from him. And so that's why his word is alive and active, because that's what his word can dig into the lowest part of us, regardless of what we're going through, what we're experiencing, what we're dealing with. His word can handle all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's, why it's important to stay in his word, to know his word, because in a time of going through situations where we can recall God's word, that's going to help us through. That helps us. It has helped us through. Getting through situations that we have no clue in our physical mind and what we see. What's going on right now. To look at the reports and hear about it or to know what's going on, it's like, wow. But we know that we serve a God who's able to do all things. And so that gives us that peace of mind to know that, this too shall pass. So, give me some feedback. What is your thought? What is your breakdown on God's word being live and active? What does it say?
If I may,
scripture, God's word reveals who we are and also tells us what we're not.
Oh.
If you think about it, and you know, everything that we have experienced, it penetrates your inner thoughts, the core of your moral and your spiritual life.
Okay.
A lot of times we profess to be this and that, but it all mounts up to how much you love God, God follows His word, your spiritual life, your Christian life. It discerns what is within you, both good and evil. And the demands of God's word requires us to make decisions. I think I preached a sermon before. It talks about decisions and choices.
Okay.
But, you know, it's one thing to listen to the word. But you listen, but you gotta let it, you gotta really hear it. And you must allow it to shape your life. When we first accept the Lord as our Savior, it's a process. It didn't happen overnight. We accepted Him, but this faith walk was something, you know, serious. It took a while. It took some challenges, some struggles to get us to where we really trust and believe and depend on God's Word. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. And there's still growth. You know, we still, there are areas we still need to grow in. And we can do well in one area and falter in another area. So that's why it's important to continue to keep His word before us, continue to grow. And that becomes the thing, because a lot of times we feel like as we get older or maybe a position or title or whatever it is, we may have arrived. And the one thing is God's word is it's an equal playing ground. There is no one person being better than the next person. We all have work to do. We all. So even in getting a lot of things right, there are some things that we still can work on. So like you said, you know, the good from the bad, the righteous from the wicked. You know, there's even though we've given our life and we are growing, either bad or good,
it's true. And just to prove it, it would take more. This salvation thing, we can't take it for granted.
No.
God gave us a beautiful gift. But like you said, we have to choose. We have to be committed. And we have to make the right decision. And now is one way we can truly learn that we really must show more commitment than we've ever shown before.
Yes.
We're dealing with this situation, this pandemic. It ought to cause us to really rest assured. You know how we always say you have to have insurance? But we have to make sure we have that blessed assurance, to rest assured of God's word. More now than ever before, we got to really rely and depend on it.
Yes.
More so than we did before.
We do. Anybody else? And I'm sorry to go out and see I'm on with you all. And it seems to me that God's powerful word will change us. We must not only listen to it, but we must also let it transform our lives. And I've got where myself it had to be for me at a particular time. I was smoking cigarettes, and I knew I wasn't supposed to smoke, but I knew that I had to stop. You know, the glory of God, so I could be a witness for God. And so I tried to confess the scriptures that were in the Bible. Even though I was smoking cigarettes, as I was confessing His word, and His word is powerful. You he does whatever he says fit for us to do. And I tell you all, just one example for me, his words did and allowed me, transformed me from a smoker to a non-smoker.
Hear a lot of
God's word is. So it's important to keep his word before us and us encouraging and inspiring each other with the word that it does divide the truth from what's not true. Test in any direction. The word of God has revealed in the scriptures and teaches of living prophets the applicable in many situations for our blessing and condemnation, our edification, instruction, and chastisement as we treasure up in our minds continually the words of life. The word of God is then quick and powerful, living and active as we share it with one another and apply it to our lives. So when we're talking about the word being alive and active in this two-edged sword cutting, you know, that's doing away with the self that's not of God. That we can live a life that is pleasing before God. So, you know, to look at this and say, okay, why is the scriptures vital? Why is that a vital part? Because it allows us to be, you know, to know that God's word is alive and active. Are there any comments or anything that anybody want to add before we move on?
Reverend Francis,
yes.
I just wanted to add in regards to this scripture in particular, is that what I gather from it and what I do realize is that the word, yes, it is a living, breathing thing. When we read the word, it's personable. It's amazing how the word is able to when you read it, it does those things to you as an individual. And each one of us may have something different. In a sense, it's custom made for us individually. Amen. What somebody else may not need, but whatever you need, you can also find in the word. And that's what makes it living, because it's fluid. The word can get in us, and it also comes through us, and we can share the word. Like you said, all of these things happen through the word. I like the fact that when you talk about the word being living, it that means it's steadily going. It's just always there to provide for us, to give us the knowledge that we need. Because God doesn't want us to live not knowing what we can be capable of, what we are capable of, what promises he gave us. You know, we have to be reminded of those things, and he also gives us the tools we need to move forward. And also by reading what other people experience in the word helps us grow our faith and helps us in our work.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And it is, like you said, alive and active. And, but, you know, we can all read the exact same scripture, but it's going to deal with us individually because God knows what we need. So, when you may have gotten what you needed, I got what I needed, and we didn't need the same thing.
I want to say this. I like what Brent Holmes said, what you said. It all points to the fact that God sees all, he knows all, you know, and we think and everything, but even when we are unaware of his presence, he's there.
Yes. He is there. And that's why I said everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He knows.
Yeah. And it's no secret from God. And it's something to realize that although God knows us intimately, he still loves us no matter what we may have. And, you know, like, let's say I've done something and people know I've done it. they're not going to let me forget it. But God, he doesn't look at what I've done. He looks at my heart. He doesn't hold grudges and judge. Well, we know he doesn't judge, but he's not like we are.
Right.
Well, and then we're supposed to be practicing it. Be better and become more
that's
like
true.
Him.
Yeah, that's true.
But then we wouldn't be like we are either. It takes work, though. It takes work.
That's right.
Yes. Anybody else have anything to add or share?
That just is a lot. It says, future years will come in sight, but all things are negative, open to the eyes of him. We must give account. So we must give account. So we are blessed to know that all of us have to give account for what our lives stand for, what we do in life. And also we can remember that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't think more of one person than he does the other. He's just all the same.
And it's true. And I think sometimes we're more worried about what each other would think than we are what God would think.
Yeah.
So that's sometimes something that we have to check ourselves on to say, you know what? You know, because things are happening, we'll be concerned. Well, I wonder what they're going to think, or I wonder what they're going to say. But we maybe should turn that question around and say, you know, what is God saying about what I did?
Yes.
That's where we need to make peace. That's where we need to ask for forgiveness. And not that if we've offended one of our brothers or sisters that we shouldn't ask them for forgiveness, because, yes, reconciliation is very important. But we need to get it straight with God and make sure that he has forgiven us, you know, and that, you know, and it's just as simple as asking for that forgiveness. You know, it's not anything we have to beg for. You know, his words that we just ask. You know, bring our wrongs before him, letting him know, you know, I'm falling short. Because we do fall short. Okay. So now we're going to move on. So what we said is the word being a vital part of the scriptures, because God's word is alive and active. So the number two part to that would be because God's word gives us freedom. And that's going to be found in James, 3rd chapter, 25th verse. James 1, 25. Somebody have it and they want to read, they can go ahead. But also looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuous therein, he being not a forgetful girl, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Okay. Do we have another translation?
I know New Living, and if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it.
Okay, I'm gonna read the Amplified, and if somebody else has another one, then you can read that. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. Any more translations or anybody else want to read?
But whoever looks intently into the law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
Okay. Okay, so perfect law means God's word. And that's the only word that's perfect. His word. That's our standard. That's what we go by. Because God allowed Jesus to come and be our example and do that completion of him down on the cross. The law gives us the freedom. And that is, you know, the principle of us being freed from sin. Okay? So, when we say the perfect law, but if he looks carefully into the perfect law, it sets you free. So that means if we line our lives up according to the law, and we abide by it, and that we are just not listeners, but we are also doers. Because there becomes those times in life when maybe we were, maybe sometimes we are, we're listening. We're not always doing. But that's the thing. In God's word, when we hear his word, we are not just to hear it, we are to become doers. And that's part of being active in what we learn, what we know, what we understand. And so that becomes, you know, some things we go, oh, well, I didn't know that, or I didn't really understand it. But the more we dig into God's word, the more we have a better understanding. So, you know, my favorite scripture is eye sharpens eye. So as we help one another, then we become better at what it is that we're doing, what it is that we're supposed to do. And we are supposed to be helpers of one another. So it takes all of that, you know, us loving God, us loving one another, that we can get to that place and we have that freedom. Because a lot of times we're in God's word and we're in church and we're Christians, but we're not free. A lot of times, you know, and I only speak for myself. There's a lot of times that I've been bound, but that was because I wasn't necessarily lining myself up with what God's word said and doing what he would have me to do. So I, therefore, I didn't find that freedom that I could have had because I was a hearer and maybe not a doer of his word. Anybody want to add? Christian maturity. And all the time it may not feel good when we talk about things, or we may not want to share because, you know, we got to kind of feel like, I don't know about that. But it's okay. Because like we said, the word, God's word, when we hear it, when we get an understanding for it, it's going to be like the two-edged sword. It's going to fix some things for us. Change some things. All right. Well, we will keep it moving then. So the third part to that is going to come out of Psalm 19. Starting with the 7th verse. Psalm 19, starting at the 7th verse. How far you want to go there? 7 through 11, please. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much free gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and is keeping of them there is great reward. Thank you. Thank you. Any other translations?
I have the Today's English Version.
Okay.
And mine starts with the heading of the law of the Lord.
Okay.
The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it. The laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy. The commands of the Lord are just and give understanding to the mind. Reverence for the Lord is good. It will continue forever. The judgment of the Lord are just. They are always fair. They are more desirable than the finest gold. They are sweeter than the purest honey. They give knowledge to me, your servant. I am rewarded by obeying them.
All right. All right. Thank you. Any other translation? Go ahead.
I have the NIV.
Okay.
The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of Jehovah is plain, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than all fine gold. And much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is our servant warm, and keeping them there is great reward.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else?
The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reliably told. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise and simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight to living. The commands of the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more valuable than gold, than diamond is gold. They are sweeter than honey, than honey dripping from the comb. They are a warranty of serving, a great reward for those who obey them.
Thank you. And so we hear here the instructions of the Lord are perfect, they're flawless, reviving the soul. And if there's one thing that we as Christians, as people and human body need, and that's reviving, you know. There are new mercies every morning, and we have to ask God to give us a clean heart, you know, because even in reading the Word, even in handling the Word, even in doing our best to be good Christians, we fall short. It's just part of it. And so having our
our souls revived, you know, knowing that his instructions are perfect. You know, his decrees are trustworthy. That the Lord is right. You know, he brings joy to our heart because even in a time when we can be going through, you know, to pray about it, to read God's word, to be encouraged, we feel better. We feel better. You know, and the situation may not have changed. The situation may not have been fixed. But because of the goodness of his word and what we know he's done in the past and he'll do again, it brings joy to ourselves. And so when it goes on to say that it's more desirable than gold, you know, gold was the thing. You know, now people probably would want money. So we could say it's more desirable than money. Because even with what we're going through right now, just talking about how much money you have, you can't buy no toilet paper because you can't buy it. Just to lighten the mood a little bit. But, you know, we desire things that sometimes it's us designing, not because it's what God would have for us. And so God is going to provide for us what we're going to have. It may not be what we want. And then a lot of times I can always just go to myself. I've created situations. So it's not that God don't want to provide or haven't provided or whatever. We create situations, but getting back on track, knowing what his words say, lining up with his words. It may not be today, tomorrow, next week, but we can get to the place that we need to be. We can get there, but it's going to take us following his instructions and knowing that his instructions are perfect. Even though we have veered and not followed that roadmap, but we can get back on the road and do the things that he would desire for us to do. And so it says they are a warning to us because we're the servant. A great reward for those that obey him. For those that, you know, heed his word. So we are reminded, we are instructed, we are to know that the only perfect is God. And so if we follow his instructions, we're going to be on a better road, doing better, and not only able to help ourselves get to a better place, but we can help someone else. And that's what this walk is all about. Us not only helping ourselves, but helping one another, encouraging one another, keeping one another, because we're all going to go through ups and downs.
True.
And even in those ups and downs, that's why we're there for one another. That we can encourage and keep one another on this road. Living in this word. Hearing what God's word say, doing what his word say. Is there anyone that want to add anything as we're getting near to our time to end?
I think the laws are justified if we have an open heart and willing to obey. And of course, I'll say, look within ourselves for intersection for what may not be up to par.
Mm-hmm.
But at least knowing that we have the standards and, you know, get up devotedly every morning or whatever time that we find to work with the Bible and Scripture. And we do know that God is all his promises and his word. And all we have to do, like, Deacon Melvin said, if use this roadmap, go through what we have to go through, because everything is set up so that even if we're going through a storm such as we are now, if we just use the guidelines of his law, we will make it through. Yes. And it's kind of like you said a minute ago, even if we find the toilet paper, and it's beyond the price of what we normally would pay for it, because we want it or we need it or whatever, we're putting out more money for it. Right. To bring it in because we're satisfied with it, but we have to also, we might not get it on time, and everybody knows that God is on time and he will supply our needs.
Yes.
But the most thing that we have to live with in ourselves too is that spiritual connection and that peace that he gives us daily.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So if there's nothing else, we're going to end in prayer. Are there any names or people that we want to stand in the gap for?
Kim
Holmes.
Yeah, Gloria Evans.
Okay.
James Rather.
James Rather, okay.
Arthur Walker.
Okay.
I want to pray for the church families and the pastors.
Okay.
Church families.
We'll pray for everyone. Okay. Pray for my son, Jermaine.
Jerry Johnson.
The Christopher family.
All the first one?
Yeah. Hello, Dan. Yes, ma'am.
We hear you, Remus. And pray for the last responders as well.
Okay.
Yeah. First, amen. I've been trying to get in on the message, get my scripture in on the message Bible, but nobody ever heard me, I don't think.
You're still on mute? We're going to need to take yourself off of mute next time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh. Okay. All right. If I was able to capture some of those, if not, then we did call them out and God did hear them if by chance I didn't capture them. So as we end, is there anybody that has anything else to say before we close out in prayer?
I just want to remind all the deacons and deaconess on the line from both churches that on tomorrow night, they have it every Thursday, the Baptist State Commission has a prayer call for deacons and deaconess. I'll send you the information so you can share with Deacon Jones, Deacon Holmes, and the rest.
Okay.
Deaconess Tungrania. Every Thursday at 9 o'clock to 9:15. And I want to welcome anybody that wants to tune in with us on Sunday. I believe it's going to rain, so we're not going to have drive up church. But if the weather does permit, then we will go outside, but if not, it'll be still be on the line either way.
On Sunday.
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
And so for Mount Nebo and Youth Church, if you have your tithes, offerings, donations, both churches are still operating, and would just appreciate any offerings, tithes, that you can give.
Amen.
Okay.
hearts and minds be clear. Thank everybody for coming on, us being able to break bread together. I just get excited about talking about God's word. It looks like the hours just go way too fast. And I did get scriptures, readings for last week. So I don't know if everybody got to read that. And I've got to figure out how we can do that because I don't know that we can incorporate that into the Bible study. But it was Genesis 1 through 15 and Matthew 1 through 5. Personally, I didn't finish reading all of it, so I don't know if y'all but we're going to still hang on to those, make any notes that you have or any points that you take from Genesis 1 through 15 and Matthew 1 through 5, and we may do another time of those that just want to discuss that. We can come on and just talk about what we were able to glean from that, but I'll kind of do a poll and see who wants to do what, and we'll go from there with the three. Well, you can skip those if they don't really need, if you don't need to read them, but if you need to read them, you might need to catch a few of them.
I've been reading them,
Alrighty, yes ma'am. So as we go to God in prayer, let's just keep one another lifted. Once we finish with this call and services, that we would pray one for another, that we would be strengthened and God would just move in each one of our lives. Okay. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. We come before you this evening, Lord, just thanking you for your word, Lord. As we grow in relationship with you and with each other, Lord, I just ask that you open our hearts, that you open our minds, that your word speak to us, Lord, like it's never spoke before, that we become closer, we become drawn unto you, Lord, unto your word, that it just becomes that we can't get enough of your word, that not only can we not get enough in reading and applying it to our lives, but that, Lord, we would be that light that's set on a hill, that others would see your goodness in us, and Lord God, they would run to you. Lord, in this season, it's the season where there's not one that shouldn't be giving you praise, that shouldn't be giving you honor, just being thankful, Lord, for who you are and how you continue to provide for us. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We give you honor and glory for all things that you have done, for all miracles, wonders, and signs that you have just displayed in this time, in this hour, as we continue to go through what it is that we go through. Lord God, we pray for those states that are beginning to open back up and will be dealing with we don't know what they'll deal with. But Lord God, we just ask that you would cover those people, that as they start to be out and about and doing the things that they think they normally would do, that Lord God, you would just speak to them, Lord, that you would let them understand that some things won't go back to normal. And so, Lord, we just ask that you fix their hearts and you fix their minds to have an understanding of who you are, that, Lord God, they would seek you first. And not only them, but all of us, Lord God, as we are out and about, whether it be for our jobs or to go to the grocery store, Lord God, I just ask for covering over every last one of us, Lord God. For the names that were called out this evening, Lord God, I just ask that you would cover them, that you would keep them, that, Lord God, you would meet them at their point of need. Lord God, and that is Kim Holmes and Gloria Evans and James Rather and Arthur Walker and, Lord God, every person that's on this phone, for every home that's connected to this line, Lord God, we ask a special blessing on them, that you keep your hands upon them, Lord God, for every pastor, every preacher, every teacher, every evangelist, every bishop, Lord God, anybody that carries your word, Lord God, we ask that you would just raise them up, Lord God, that in this day and time that they can
can continue to encourage your people, Lord God, to give them a word, Lord God, to be able to point them to you. Because, Lord God, that's what it's all about. And anything that we say and do, any preaching, any teaching, it is to point your people to you, Lord God, that they would seek you like they've never seek you before, Lord God. Lord God, for Jermaine Garnett and Gary Jackson and Christopher and the first responders and the hospitals and DCBI and Central State and Harvey Davis and every hospital, every nursing home, every jail. Lord God, for those that are healing from the coronavirus, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for all of the miracles, all of the wonders, all of the signs that you have done in this day and time. We thank you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory, and we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I ask that the word become a seed, Lord God, and that your Holy Spirit would just water it. That, Lord God, we would look back through these scriptures that we've gone over tonight, Lord God, and you would make them alive and active in our lives. That, Lord God, we won't be just hearers, but we would be doers of your word, understanding what it is that your word has said, Lord God, and that we will continue to run on and do what it is that you've called each and every one of us to do. Lord God, we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Go in peace. I love each and every one of you, and I'm excited to break bread with you again on next Wednesday at 6:30. Amen.
Amen.